you want to check us out on all of our social media platforms, on Twitter at Tinfoil Hat Cast,
on Instagram at Tinfoil Hat Pod,
or allcomedytshirts.com.
Email us at tinfoilhatpod@gmail.com.
Tinfoil hat.
Tinfoil hat.
Hey, man, where's the truth there, dog?
Tinfoil hat.
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Revolution will be podcasted.
Yeah. Yes. The podcast with the best hair in the game. Not only Ryan Davis's, but my hair is on point today. It's looking pretty good. Haircuts are getting way too expensive in this town, but that will be another episode of Conspiracies. Why is the price of haircuts going up? Is it something about the Middle East peace process? What is causing haircuts to quadruple in price? You know, and I had a girl cut my hair today that looked exactly like somebody from a Tim Burton, like the Nightmare After Halloween. Exactly. I'm like, oh, please don't cut my hair. Hi, can I cut your hair? I'm like, oh, God. And she did a great job. Okay. So the point is, just because somebody looks like they're The Walking Dead doesn't mean they can't cut good hair. Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. You know who we are. You know what we're here to do. And that is fucking rock hard. Back in the saddle. This is one of four podcasts we will be doing in the next 3 days because I'll be going out of town to go see my mama and my brother, and we're going to go. I'm very excited about getting back home, so we're going to bang out a couple ones. They are all killer, killer topics. I'm very excited. We're getting into it, a lot of the crazy stuff, but before we go, we got to push the product. Guys, June 1st, June 2nd. It is the Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night. We are at Cops in San Francisco on June 1st, 8 o'clock show. And then we're at the Punchline in Sacramento. Now, here's what's really weird. All we've been doing is pushing the June 1st one because it's such a giant comedy club. But yet, we've sold way more tickets in Sacramento.
Sactown.
The most underrated city. Sactown and Tampa are my two favorite comedy cities. They're very underrated. The women are very attractive. They will have your baby. That's what I know about Sacramento and Tampa. But so, guys, go if you're in. And I know that most tickets are bought within the first week or two of the actual show. Buy those tickets, man. Trust me. Buy them tickets. We have Eddie Bravo, Off the Grid's going to be there. Okay. We got Trez Mala and... We're waiting on one more comic, might do a secret pop-in. And then afterwards, we're doing the Q&A. We're going to take your questions. And whoever brings the most people is going to be able to come backstage and smoke weed with our good friend Eddie Bravo and do a podcast. I'm bringing my podcast equipment. We'll have it all set up so that when we go in the back, we'll bang out a nice podcast for you. Let's now, some of you guys might be going on some of these pirate websites or these third-party ticket sellers, and the prices are insane. Make sure you go. I went there today. I'm like, $220. I'm like, what are we, Hamilton? Who's going to go see that? It's crazy. Go make sure you go to the Cobbs Comedy Club or the Punchline. Don't buy third-party tickets, man. I wish they'd put up our flyer, right? It's a nice flyer. You know, and then tomorrow night is Comedy Chaos. Ooh. And guys, the dojo is a-rockin'. We have awesome shows going there all the time. Have I forgotten anything,
Ryan? No, if you notice right here, our good friends from Illuminatus, Illuminatus on Instagram, since they know we can't be sponsored by the Illuminati, they're going to go ahead and throw a little product our way. And today's guest, we might as well bring him on in here. Got a little something for you, buddy.
What's that, man?
That's from the Illuminatus right there. So they're kind of the premier cannabis industry. So I know you might be a cannabis head.
I am. Just a
Do you smoke the marijuana?
I am, but I was just saying I'm going to quit this morning. Look at this. I have another reason to keep
that?
Going
give it
right
to
now.
We gave
right
you weed now. Before we introduced you. he's got a new podcast. It's called Fanatics. Right?
Yes.
And it's on the Laugh Factory
It's
channel?
Fanatics Podcast. It's on the Laugh Factory Network. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes and Libsyn and soon all the other
Why
stuff.
Why are you on SoundCloud
Sam...
and Libsyn?
Because I don't know. I thought SoundCloud, a lot of people have been listening to it on SoundCloud.
Yeah,
so.
But the SoundCloud Lipson are both. Anyways, we'll get into that.
Okay. Please.
Joining us, he's one of my favorite episodes we've done.
Thank you.
It was really fun, and it kind of let me know that this podcast is going to get really interesting. Please welcome. He's my friend, even though he's
if
very
you
late
can't
today.
Remember my name.
Yeah, no. Sean Josh, come on, dog.
Yeah, I was late today, Sam.
You were late, and that's fine. I'm only busting your balls.
No, it's okay. And I, you know, I still get, even to this day, every week or two, I'll get messages on Instagram or Twitter from that podcast.
People are going back and listen.
They go back and
people love this show so much, they're going back and listening to, like, old naughty shows that are back on, like, way back on it.
Yeah,
so people are checking out.
You guys are killing it.
Tell us about your podcast.
It is a sports and comedy podcast, but we have a lot of fun. I just have friends in the room. We go through sports.
You just do Indiana sports?
We just do exclusively Indiana sports. So I've been talking about
huge.
The Pacers for
Corn
about
based.
4 weeks. We're going to be so big in Hendricks County, Indiana.
So it's Colts
you
and
can't
Pacers.
Even believe it. You can't even believe it. No, we do a lot of different. We do a lot of different fun stuff. We shoot segments. We do bits out on the street. And
are there
stuff.
Any conspiracies in the sports world that
well,
you're interested
actually,
in?
Well, actually, I was hoping to have on Sammy Triple sometime soon because
yeah.
I would love to do that. My dad is completely thinks the NBA's fixed. Like with my parents calling sometimes.
Oh, they're to a point. It is 100% fixed.
Oh yeah, like
100%.
It's like
fixed.
Professional wrestling sometimes. You
it's,
know, you can
well,
go back to the Sacramento series. It's a famous one where Donaghy was in the fourth quarter.
Of course, and then it's all about like you know ratings. Like LeBron is going to do bigger numbers than Oladipo.
Of course,
like and that sucks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you're a small market, you got to not only beat the other team, you have to beat the refs.
But so. OKC has taught you that if you play exciting basketball, people watch it. You don't have to be from a big city for people to want to watch you.
You don't have to be from a big city, but you have to have big stars.
Yes.
You have to have some type of way that they can get ratings from you. And if they can't get ratings from you, then it's going to be that much tougher for you to advance in
I mean,
whatever
look
particular
at San
series.
Antonio. They were killing it for years, and
then
nobody would watch the finals.
Exactly,
like Detroit.
But they were so
San
they were
Antonio.
So good they couldn't be denied.
Yeah,
you know
well,
what I
they
mean?
They were methodical.
Right. The NFL doesn't have that problem. That's one thing the NFL does well. When you watch the NFL, it feels like fair. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of that has to.
I
do
I mean, you've seen weird
with
calls,
the, but they have the replay weird. Works pretty well in the NFL, especially as compared to
as
the
a
NBA.
Raiders fan. I will tell you that there are calls that. Don't make sense. A little thing called the tuck rule that actually came.
I'm 100% there with you on that one. The tuck rule was bullshit.
And all the just the up. Anyways.
I got to twist up my hair into braids. I feel like less a man after that conversation.
Oh, it's so you guys do
have talk about tools or something?
You do have beautiful hair, by the way. I just come here for the beautiful hair to look at you too.
Oh, I do have. I got a haircut today.
It looks great. I
mean, it's never
going
to be flow like this.
Every time I try to get a trim, a guy that looks like you comes up. And I'm like, bro, you ain't got no hair, man. What are you going to do?
Is that weird?
Beautiful.
That you want a haircut from a guy with good hair?
I want a haircut from a gay man, first of all.
I don't, dude.
If I see a straight man, I'm like, no. You better get a little twinkle in them toes, dog.
I got humped one time hard. Like, he was grinding on me.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I'm like.
There's no back to the chair.
A haircut can be.
He's like hitting the side. He's just like.
A haircut can be a very sensual thing, man.
Yeah. Well, or rape.
Yeah, it could
be
in your case.
Like, if you don't want that, it's only sensual if you're down with it.
So you didn't give him consent.
I didn't go, hey, dude, as you cut my hair,
chub on your
fucking
shoulder.
Jizz on my shoulder. I didn't say that.
You're such a homophobe.
Dude, I'm sorry. Unconsensual, homosexual dry humping
just,
makes me homophobic?
Just go with it. Just
okay, we'll remember that.
It's Hollywood, baby.
We'll remember
it's Hollywood.
That.
You know you're one of our most requested guests. They're like, when are you going to get that guy back on?
Oh, that's awesome, man. I'm that guy. I'm back on, guys.
Oh, real quick. You have a show next. This will come out on Mondays. You do.
So this will come out Monday the 14th. Yeah. I have a show at the Laugh Factory on Monday the 14th, 7:45. So rush out and buy tickets.
Who's in it?
Come out. Right now, it is me and Whitney Cummings, I would say. Is probably
that's all you need.
Knows.
That's all you need.
That's all we need.
Who hooked
David.
You up with that number?
It was a guy named this really young mogul named Sammy Triples
yeah,
over
I
here.
I love mogul.
Sammy Triples. Sammy is a young mogul, by the way. He's doing like so many things right now. It's crazy. Your special was great.
Oh, thank you. I watched the first edit of the first hour last night. It was so good.
When's it coming out?
I mean, hopefully Dana, my girlfriend, is going. She's going to go through and clean it all up.
Right, right.
There's a couple,
and
cool
she was
angles.
The one running around the room. Being
oh
all
yeah,
crazy.
Tell me what to do.
Yeah,
yeah. She was great. She. I mean, With Dano, I got some big stuff coming. I'm super excited, but that will be down the road on that. I'm excited to get to you because
we did an Anunnaki episode
that I enjoyed so much. And it's amazing to me. And I just really want to say this to all the listeners. We don't have to agree on every conspiracy.
I'd prefer we didn't.
You know, it's just like you can believe in something and you cannot believe. It doesn't mean it's trash, we're shills, we're just agents of disinformation. It's okay that you don't agree. And like sports, like just because everybody's not a Clipper, a Raider, or a Dodgers fan doesn't mean they don't valid points or they don't like sports. It's just like, it's okay. You don't believe in Anunnaki or you do believe in Anunnaki. I personally think there's something there. That's just me. You don't have to believe in it. And listen, this is not a show for people to come on and for me to challenge them on. I don't want that. I do really like Art Bell's style of just like, okay, you're on.
Open platform, what do you think?
What you're saying, we're going to go with, it's real, let's explore it.
It is a mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain and consider an idea without accepting it.
Yeah, I just want to hear what you have to
say. Without emotion, just to entertain it,
I don't know if I can get to that mode.
You know what I mean?
I'm Armenian Italian, we go zero all have to things fucking to work felony toward. Quick, dog, but I enjoy hearing it, and I want to hear it, and I don't want people to come on here because, you know, like, conspiracy theorists, they're almost like street dogs, you know, it's like they roam the streets at night, you know.
It can be tribal.
And they can be, well, they can be also be very sensitive to being called crazy names and all that stuff. And it could drive them, you know, so I don't want them thinking they come on here, it's going to be just like this mental chess game. It's more like,
let's not be triggered, people.
Yeah, I just want to have fun. I just want to hear what you have to say, whether I walk away from it. I've had Eddie Bravo on here 1,000 times. Sure. I am not a flat earth guy. But that doesn't mean he wants to do a whole episode on it. I'm like, okay, I'll listen to it. It's not my thing.
I'm not a sports guy. Sam and you guys just talked something like spoke another language, and that's fine. I'm cool with it. I don't need you guys. No more sports. Sports aren't real.
It's
just
like, it's fine, man.
Yeah,
if you believe in something
out.
I don't necessarily believe in, it's okay. Stop going crazy. If you like the show, enjoy. If you don't watch the show.
There you go. And just smoke some Illuminatica Black as you do it.
I love it, dude.
So I was like, Sean, what do you want to talk about? And I'm glad what you brought up was something we've never really, and it happened like right underneath, right before it turned to 2018.
Yeah.
On December 16th, 2017, the U.S. Department of Defense released a video showing an encounter between a Navy FA-18 Super Hornet and an unknown object. It was released by the Defense Department's Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. That's a mouthful, but that is what they do in the military.
So what's that? It's the threat.
But that's what they
identification program.
DDAATIP.
In the government, that's they don't call them UFOs anymore in the defense area. I guess they're called whatever that phrase is. The Advanced Aerospace Threats is what they're referred to now, which is what the name of that program was.
So does this all get spurred on by DeLong's appearance on Rogan?
No, this is way, I think.
But the basically acknowledging of a program, does it get, is that the first step into
disclosure? Is what
disclosure?
You speak of, huh?
Yes, well, disclosure.
I don't know. The way I look at it is like, I understand why science is skeptical to kind of embrace or launch inquiries into the field as a broad topic, but I think there are specific instances that demand scientific inquiry and are kind of the reason science exists, you know? And I know, like, you were talking about the flat earth stuff before, like, science is kind of going through a weird moment right now where it's having a hard time breaking through with the truth. So it makes even the embracer of an idea like this harder. But there are specific instances like this one.
Mm-hmm. But why do you think
ultimately that are the reason science exists? And when you see scientists, like I have a couple quotes here, reject stuff like this out of hand, then when will they accept it? You could argue it's already disclosure. Here we have a U.S. government video. We have radar data backed up by visual sighting and video evidence of a craft that can do maneuvers beyond our capability. We have it on video, New York Times, government officials. So you could argue disclosure has already happened.
Right.
It's just a matter of how much you want to acknowledge it or not.
Do you think the distrust in science isn't really distrust in science, but more of scientists?
I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time understanding it personally.
I think you got to look at the history of time. I mean, like, let's just take smoking, where scientists came out and literally said smoking was good for you. And that's where we've seen people who have been bought and sold. You know, when you become a doctor, you take this oath to, like, basically agree to take care of people above profit and all that stuff. And then we see, as the older you get and the more you go through the health, you know, industry, you realize that is just lip service.
Well, you know, just on that point specifically, a lot of people say science news has kind of a crisis right now, because you'll see, like, for instance, let's use chocolate or red wine as an example. If you follow the news, you'll see 1 week, oh, chocolate is good for you. High cholesterol. Oh, next week, chocolate will kill you. 1 week, red wine, good for the heart. Next, red wine will kill you. So there is kind of a public information crisis in that aspect. But I think what you're getting to is really, I think it's more about public education. And I think there's a failure of science education and civics education in particular right now. But in terms of science, to me, all that science revolves around, of course, it's going to become a political tool. It's going to become propaganda. But all science should revolve around is a scientific method and what that is, meaning you have an experiment, hypothesis, and then in order to prove that experiment, you have to be able to do that experiment again and get those same results.
I agree.
So science, of course, is approving. Science is gonna be wrong, but within science, it never claims to be an absolute truth like religion or like a faith. And the whole thing is trying to prove itself right, which is why you have competing ideas and competing ideologies within a similar set of facts or sub facts. You know,
right? I agree with that, and I think the key, I think what people want to believe in is that we just want to be trustworthy of all the information we get. We think that there is this. It's why people follow the mainstream media so blindly, because they're so busy in their life. They don't have time to fact check anything. So because they're trustworthy people, they trust that these people have the integrity to deliver them the truth. And what that may not always be the same. So everything that you take, unfortunately, you have to do your own research on.
And you have to. And, you know, the thing about these days is you have the tools to do that if you choose to. But I always tell people, if you know, having the responsibility over your own information means also reading stuff, to go to your point earlier, that you disagree with. If there's a story or something you want to get information about and you're only reading articles or sources you agree with, you're doing a disservice to your understanding of that particular situation. You should seek out information that's contrary to your own opinion, because that's the only way that you'll ever be able to have a strong enough opinion to defend or really even believe.
Yeah. You know, so. And that's the whole thing. It's just like, you know, even with these conspiracies, not just what we're about to talk about, but other episodes we've done, it's like we've done research. We've gone deep into it. And I think that people find that if they haven't heard of it, it can't be true.
Yeah, there's
I get that
well.
All the time.
Yeah,
I get that all the time. And it's just like, I mean, like, no, that's not true. That's so stupid. I go, just because you haven't heard about it doesn't mean it's not relevant.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
I think some of these cases bring that up to me. Because I'm not saying that these are one way or another, but I think the apparent established facts, which are agreed upon and in public, demand more inquiry into them and more light onto them than we currently
have. Were you shocked at when this came out, how it didn't register at all? I mean, like, there was no reaction, in my opinion.
It's in the fucking New York Times with government release video. You know what I mean? With video of the incident, you know, but then... But I'm not shocked at all. Because I'll tell you why I'm not shocked. Because the questions that it asks on its face are so audacious, and the possibilities of them are so fantastic, that knowing how the academic community is and the way that it's funded, it's built to kind of dismiss things like this, not accept them and look into them.
Because forever the whole thing was like, you know, Steven Spielberg, who I think is a scumbag, but...
you think he's in that whole...
I know, right? He is. I don't know he is, but I would say I would be completely shocked if he... Based on where there's smoke, there's fire.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Okay? So, but, you know, forever he's been begging them, which is very interesting, because the other guy that has done the same thing is John Podesta, which is always begging for the U.S. government.
And I don't know what you're feeling. Harry Reid was behind...
He's also a major force behind this program.
As well, you know, he's famously had the is it the right or the left eye is black and blue and all that stuff.
Oh, that's a whole crazy one right there.
Right.
He's a boxer. He's an old boxer. That's what he knows.
The Podesta stabbed deep into your left middle ring finger, and so they always have a cut on their ring finger, and then like you have to take out the adrenal gland of the pituitary gland of the child. And
oh, that's where you get the good stuff.
And then that overloads you, and then that's what causes that
Shut up.
So that's why you
shut up.
So you'll see people adrenal with a cut, like Obama with a cut on his hand, and then that it's. But dude, you know how they take pictures. Like right now, if me and you were just to walk down, if TMZ was to catch us, follow us around today, they would catch us doing some weird shit, and we wouldn't even do anything.
Dude, you just blew
why do you think I was 15 minutes late? It's because of weird shit.
You know, but they've been calling for disclosure, and you know, Steven Spielberg, John Podesta, all these people, you know. And they're like, well, the American people can take it. And then the way people reacted to it,
we're so
it was
dumb.
Just like,
we can't even accept the earth is round. Yeah, it's just not going to enter the public. I bet most people didn't even hear about it.
I do joke about it on stage. Like, whenever a major event happens in the world, I love to go on Instagram and see how the Instagram models are taking it.
Yeah.
They couldn't give a rat's ass about anything.
That's actually, I think, would probably be an important new news maxim. If it breaks the Instagram model matrix and they post about it, you know it's a major event.
Yeah. And even when they do care about something, it becomes this huge event. Like Cardi D or whatever her name is, Carly B. She's going off on like the MK Ultra, and everyone's like, oh my God, she's talking about it. Like, that's how crazy we are that when it actually resonates with insanely hot women, then it must be an issue.
Well, you know, like, I would say this. If UFOs tomorrow flew information over Washington, D.C., would that be enough, you think, for people to acknowledge it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You think so?
Well, I mean, like, Do you think if
UFOs flew over Washington, D.C. tomorrow and it was recorded and on the cover of most major papers in the United States, would you think that would be enough for people to believe it?
For me, yeah, 100%.
That happened in 1952. UFOs flew over formation in Washington, D.C., recorded, I have it all here, recorded on multiple radar stations, Washington National Airport, what it was known as before Dulles, over the period of July 21st to July 29th, flying in formation, multiple military jets confirming and scrambling and making contact. And this was on the cover of the Washington Post and many major U.S. newspapers in 1952 when it happened, but still not enough for belief. Yes. But I don't think that's a real photo.
You don't think that's a real photo?
No.
How about that photo behind it?
It's 1952. I doubt that they would have it, right?
Yeah. Maybe, but I have the information.
Hold on. You don't think they'd have the picture of the newspaper?
I don't know. I think there are pictures of it, but I'm not going to speak to saying that specific picture is
drugs
it.
Drugs on campus.
Yeah.
I did.
So it's happened in the past and
Washington,
no one noticed.
July 21st to July 29, 1952. Washington National Airport spotted objects on radar. Movement completely radical compared to other craft. On the ground, eyewitness reports, object which appeared to be like an orange ball of fire trailing a tail, unlike anything I've seen. So they sent one pilot up there, right?
Yeah.
Because they had all this, they had all the radar confirmation, and they were having a hard time getting in the air visual confirmation. The guy goes up there, he sees him, he starts chasing him, he can't get him. They ask, do you see anything? Do you see anything? He goes, they are all around me. This is exact response. They are all around me. What do I do?
And what happened to that guy?
As to what happened to him, I don't know when he came back, but he couldn't catch them. He said he tried to catch them, but he just couldn't. They were faster. And so this happened, two different incidents, one on July 21st and 22nd, and then from the July 26th to 29th over the nation's capital in 1952. Radar confirmation, visual confirmation. That wasn't enough. What if I told you that over Phoenix in 1997, you had thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have a confirmed sighting, multiple visual recordings of a craft bigger than the size of a football field. That initially, when it occurred the day after, the governor, Fife Symington, dismissed it. He had this big press conference and he was like, "We know what it is." And they brought out an alien in like a joke outfit. And there's like, "See, this is it." But if you talk to him now,
misinformation.
If you talk to him now, he says he was just trying not to get people to panic. He tried to get answers for it forever. But if you ask him what he thinks, he goes, "It absolutely was a craft visiting from a different planet." And that is the governor of Arizona speaking to the incident that occurred in 1997.
If I'm an alien and I want to kidnap, there's no better place to kidnap rednecks than desert people.
No, who's going to believe him? It's like Randy Quaid in Independence Day. Who's going to believe Randy Quaid?
The level of white trash in deserts is like nothing you'll ever see.
And they don't tan. They just get red.
They just, no, they beef jerky. That's what they do. They go, like they just, yeah, they get leathery. Nobody's going to miss these guys.
Yeah.
You kidnap them, you can probe for days.
So you're asking me what it'll take. I'm asking you. I mean, to me, it seems like if you want to, it seems like there's already enough information for disclosure.
Until someone likes Brian Williams, who I don't know how this guy has gotten back to this level where like he's people's choice for news.
Yeah.
But like until Brian Williams goes, "Welcome today to MSNBC. Today we're talking confirmed encounters with aliens." I think that's what's going to take.
Well, there are people who are very well regarded. I mean, what about Gordon Cooper? He's a goddamn American hero. He was a fighter pilot during World War II. He was one of the original astronauts on Mercury 7. After that, he became a highly decorated military officer who ran some of the most top secret programs, including he was a big part of the U-2 spy plane and everything. And this guy's a fucking astronaut, one of the original astronauts. And he'll tell you not only confirmed sightings of being in the air shortly after World War II, which is interesting, we can go into that, but also while he was working, running a base, I forget which one of the ones out here on the West Coast, about confirmed encounters that they had while they were testing landing gear. And they're testing landing gear on dry lake beds because it's very sensitive type of landing gear, right? And as they're doing this, they had a craft that approached, actually landed three prongs. Are we playing Halo now? Oh, here he is.
In 51, about 1951.
Do you think the Russians had that kind of technology back then?
No.
Can you stop it for a second?
Ryan told me to listen to this video, and which is great. But it's like, it takes, like, what? This guy doesn't like to move his jaws when he talks.
He's old, man. He's a goddamn American hero, is what he is. He deserves to be heard.
He would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those pesky kids. That's what I'm getting from this video.
Only you and Eddie would disrespect an astronaut.
An astronaut. A fighter pilot. He shot down
like,
Nazis.
In this video, it's like 3 minutes. This guy goes.
He shot Nazis out of the goddamn air.
That there were objects that were under intelligent control, or was it?
Well, yeah, they weren't just random. They were flying. They were flying fighter formations. Very definitely under positive control. They're just typical saucer shape.
Fighter formations.
Double ventricular shape. Metallic.
Double ventricular. Like,
I think they were definitely piloted vehicles, each one with the pilot in it, and very definitely in communication.
Stop it real quick. Let me just explain this so I can
set up. Are we sure this that's not a elderly Matthew McConaughey from the future?
That's Gordon Cooper of Mercury 7.
Why is this bull in the middle of the road?
But what he's speaking to is shortly, it may have been during the Korean War, or they were testing high-speed aircraft after World War II. So their information with is testing this new aircraft, some of the fastest aircraft we have at the time, and then that's when they're approached by these other craft, which are flying in, they're flying in formation and responding to their formation that they were flying in.
They're flying in formation.
Yes.
Not flying information like an email.
Yes,
sent
they weren't flying information. They were flying in formation.
Okay.
According to Gordon Cooper.
Because they would have flights of more than four. They'd have flights of maybe 12 or 16. And when they make a turn, they'd cross the flights in under, and they had to be in communication to be coordinated. Yeah, every once in a while one would zip off to the side, just do a lateral maneuver out to the side. Have you ever seen the lights, the UFOs that they filmed over Clear Lake, California?
Have you
seen
those?
This guy sounds like the dude that Tom Skorro makes fun of from Louisiana. He's like,
that is a goddamn American hero, ladies and gentlemen. You remember that.
So what's he saying here? Can you translate?
Should we translate old people talk?
Yeah.
You want to translate? Okay, right.
I think we just invented an app for short attention span people where we put the thing into it and then it just, hey, Sam, listen here. Did you know an astronaut back in 1950? And then be like, no, don't look away. Don't look away. Like
Sam was like, Sam this whole time is cheesing up. He can't even like listen to this guy.
I can't.
The whole time is just a girl flashing
right?
And it's his face in the
Aaron,
thing.
Aaron, am I wrong? Did that guy like, the formation,
well, what's fascinating?
Go ahead.
But what you're saying, it's like this thing that just passed in 2017. It's happened. It's happened since 47. You know, since the Roswell incident.
I generally don't do eyewitnesses or character witnesses. But in this regard, I think when you have astronauts and there's so few people who have been to space that they really do hold weight. So when you look at the two people, Gordon Cooper and the other one is Edgar Mitchell. Those are the two astronauts. Edgar Mitchell never saw anything personally. But he was really big into studying what's called the noetic sciences.
What is that?
And his noetic sciences are just like basically alternate sciences, like trying to tap into the zero-point energy field and stuff like that. Because a lot of the way Edgar Mitchell was approaching it from is how are we able to access these technology stuff like...
What's zero-point energy
stuff
field?
Like free energy and zero-point gravity. It's basically the ability to move around free of the dimensions of gravity and of resource-based kind of fuel exhaustion. You know.
Have you heard the whole idea that the reason that disclosure is never going to happen is because the military-industrial complex is reliant on our technology that we've like reverse engineered from it, right? So if we give people, like you're talking about, free energy, now why do we have war?
Well, yeah.
Why do we have oil?
Yeah.
A lot of people say that's why they shut down what Tesla was doing. Because remember, Tesla got funding to build what he was telling people was a big radio tower, but in actuality, it was a type of free energy research, and that was never brought to fruition. His plans were scuttled kind of when things were brought about. But the other theory to speak about the military-industrial complex is, once again, I wanted to stay on confirmed stuff where it has data.
Right.
So this is outside of that. But a lot of people think that after that, you know, Eisenhower's legendary military-industrial complex speech is about that exactly. You know, the fact that there are these energies, these kind of free energies that exist.
I want to get his granddaughter on the show.
I'd love that.
Oh, what is his granddaughter say? I'm not familiar
with her.
She
is big. She's all about talking about disclosure, releasing it. She's kind of on the same path as Dr. Stephen Greer. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure. I think Greer's taken a couple of hits in credibility the last 5 or 6 years. Like Mitchell, Edgar Mitchell, before he passed, I know distanced himself kind of from
because
Greer
of all his woo-woo stuff doing. Where he's trying to call
I think Greer it turned it more into a religion rather than just kind of the fact-based evidence. And I think all this stuff is so fantastical, we should limit it to where there's actual data. Because the data can be studied, and once you can study data, then it can open up avenues to possible answers. So I think everything, if you're really serious or think there's something here and want to find out one way or another what the truth is, you got to limit it to the data. And there are a few instances where actual data exists. One would be this FA-18 incident off of San Diego in 2004, which is really fucking interesting.
What happened there?
So this footage that's been released is from 2004, right?
That is the San Diego incident from 2004. This is released by the Department of Defense. It was put up on the New York Times website. It is a confirmed video from the U.S. government of an FA-18 Super Hornet chasing an object. The way it went down off of San Diego in 2004, I think they were off the USS Princeton, which is an aircraft carrier, and the guys are just flying, and they hear over the radio, "What are you guys carrying?" He goes, "What do you mean, what are we carrying?" He means, "What missiles are you carrying?" They say, "We have two Cat M9s, which are dummy missiles." So apparently over the last 2 weeks, they'd been spotting a lot of stuff on their radar, making maneuvers that were just absolutely insane and out of control. So he goes, "We have two Cat 9S dummy missiles." And they respond, radar responds or whatever, "Well, we've got a real world vector for you." So they give them the data points. So they go to meet them, right? And they appear at.
Who's talking to them?
So control. The radar control.
Okay.
Yeah, talking to them. So they tell them to go meet this. They say, we've got a real world vector for you.
Okay,
We have craft that are appearing at 80,000 feet, then stopping at 20,000 feet, going up and down, skipping, then reappearing on radar and shit like that. So they see them and they give them the point to go meet. So these guys go to investigate. This is all before this video is shot, right? So they get to what's called the merge plot. That's the point from when you're watching on the radar screen where you see like in movies that they're meeting and the two blips become one blip. So they get to the merge plot and the spot and they don't see anything. That's when the pilot looks down and he sees, looks down at the sea, right? And the sea is churning. He describes it as like the water is boiling. And above that, 50 feet above that, is the craft.
What?
Yeah, which is, in his words, this is Commander Fravers, which in his, and this is all in the New York Times and on the record, which is 40 feet long and oval-shaped, about the size of a football field. And the craft was jumping around erratically, staying over the water disturbance, jumping, hopping around over it at different heights and distances, but never moving away.
Wow.
Yeah, the water boiling underneath it, okay, and skipping too, which is interesting. Some people have theories on that too. Yeah,
sounds like interdimensional, like a craft.
Rhino knows his shit, right? So he begins, this Commander Fravers begins a circular descent towards the craft, and as he does that, the craft comes up halfway to meet him, and so he decides to go straight toward it. And when he goes, Commander Fravers goes straight toward it, he said the craft zoomed away at incredible speeds. And then he says something like, it was a weird feeling, or it was an eerie feeling, or it weirded me out. Yeah. And then what's even crazier, after that, they say, meet at this cap point, which I guess is a rendezvous spot, right? Mm-hmm. And so they give him a cap spot 60 miles away. They go to that cap spot, right? And they're on their way there. And they have, they get there, and the guy calls over the radio like 5 minutes after he gives him the cap
spot.
That's
insane.
He goes 5 minutes after they give him the cap point. They give him the rendezvous coordinates for the cap point over the fucking radio. 5 minutes later, the guy gets back on the radio to Commander Fravers. Oh. Sir, you won't believe it, but that thing is at your cap point. Can you believe it?
That is unbelievable.
At the cap point, 60 miles away, exactly. So the implications of that to me are almost more astounding than the ocean thing. That means it was picking up their communications. They have an understanding of English and coordinate points, and they headed off to see what it was there that they were doing. So they asked, Commander Fravers gets back to the craft. He says, everyone was giving him shit. What'd you see? Even then, at that point, at the point
nobody
that it happened.
Nobody wants to believe it.
Everyone's giving him shit, making fun of him. And he asked him about it, like, what do you think it was? He said, I have no idea what it was. It had no planes or wings or flaps or exhaust, and it just outran our F-18s. He's like, I don't know what it is, but I want to fly one.
So do you think the water was boiling because it was
temperature change or something?
Or just whatever was keeping it up was boiling the water?
That's fucking pure speculation. I mean,
oh, yeah, that's what we do here.
Yeah. I mean,
the whole podcast.
Would you rather see
UFO? That could be a reactionary thing to the craft itself, or it could be some type of experimental thing, or it could be a resource gathering thing. Who knows? Maybe they need a seawater wall between the outer of their ship and the inner thing of their ship, and it's some kind of gyro rotation or something. Shit, who knows? You know what I mean? That kind of stuff is even what's in the ship, I think, is pure speculation. That's why I try to limit it to kind of like what is the data, what is it that we can see on our side. And I think that should start significant scientific inquiry. I mean, here we have a pilot in our own government. Like, if this doesn't spark some kind of public commission, then I don't know what it will. So you're asking me, I'm saying there's you have craft over Phoenix, you have craft over DC, you have our own government with stuff on video. I mean, there's three right there. We haven't even talked about Japan Air. You have Gordon Cooper, you have Edgar Mitchell. So I don't really know kind of like what it'll take short of, you know, just something popping out and saying
what's going to happen with the Men in Black if we do Disclosure. They're out of work, dude. Has anyone ever thought about them? They got mouths to feed. They got families. They got 401ks they got to worry about.
I don't know. They supposedly have really small mouths.
So they have very small mouths to feed.
It's like the land of the hungry ghosts.
Yeah.
There is a, did you know the Man in Black video? Maybe I shouldn't get into this.
Yeah, get into it.
The one at the hotel in Canada.
Yeah, where the two guys walk in.
That's some
creepy shit.
It is pretty creepy.
Do you think that's real?
I don't know. But the way the guy dives out of the way and comes back and the way he says in the story, it's a nice little simulation. They did a good job with it.
Would you rather see a UFO or see Bigfoot?
Oh, not even close. A UFO. See, I think Bigfoot is such bull. I think there's significant evidence here. There's data here. You know what I mean? So like, if I were to walk into a casino and I would put like, you know, whatever, bet the house on one quote unquote conspiracy theory that I think would actually bear fruit, or there's actually a chance of being out there and abundantly true. Mm-hmm. I think this is probably the number one, just because there is so much existing data and instances and really credible people.
Have you heard of General Byrd?
General, I don't know if I'm familiar with General Byrd.
Operation High Jump over down in Antarctica. He's the one who flew over the poles.
Oh, he's the Hollow Earth guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't know if I
did. Well, do you know that story, he didn't put that story out. It was his kids when they went through his diary.
Oh, really?
Which is so interesting that a general would be diarying. I guess we all kind of do a diary, right? Our Twitter is the new diary.
Well, I think old white guys call them memoirs. They don't call them diaries.
Oh, that's so funny. I wonder if he used a Hello Kitty pen when he was writing.
Probably.
So like this program that we just started talking about in the very top of the show, it was hidden deep within the $600 billion annual defense budget.
Yeah.
So how much was that
program
budget?
Is super interesting in and of itself.
Well, what was it? $24 billion was like how much? That's why sometimes the stuff, what they put out isn't the actual whole story. It's just enough to throw people off a scent or go a different way. The notion that they are building these like anti-gravitational flying machines within our government. Right. Like, you see people all the time through Google Earth and all this stuff. They're like, what the fuck is that? You know, the secret base they find. They got this weird, like, flying object in the runway.
Right.
And you're like, your annual budget is $24 billion. That does not seem nearly enough to actually build any of this stuff. Like, that's what I think all this black op shit is. Or, you know, if you want to go into NASA, what is NASA, really? Probably building these weird-ass flying objects.
If you read this article, the New York Times article, it's just a good primer on the defense budget in general and how programs become what's called special access programs, which are protected and are black programs, and that which are the more public programs, and you find out. Like for this program specifically, Harry Reid was trying to get it to become a special access program to get that protection, because they started in 2007 and they came across findings that they thought were significant enough to continue this. You want me to go through it real quick? You want to hear it?
Yeah. That's what we're here for.
All right.
So give us the goods, dude.
So basically, this was done with Harry Reid and this billionaire named Robert Bigelow, who's the founder of Bigelow Airspace. He has contracts with NASA right now. I don't know if you remember the expanding habitat last year that they tried to do on the ISS. It's like you hook it up and it just expands, which would be really promising for orbital craft, especially like stuff like hotels.
What are you talking about? What is that exactly?
Bigelow Aerospace is an aerospace company founded by the billionaire Robert Bigelow.
Okay.
They have a lot of NASA contracts. His big aim is to have a hotel in space and to make easily inflatable space structures that you just send them out there and they expand.
Like
and
a jumpy house?
Yes.
For kids? A bounce house?
Yes, exactly.
A bounce castle?
So they had
snaps!
Yeah, exactly. So they had their first they had their first one last year that they actually sent to the ISS, connected to the ISS and tried to expand it. It failed. I think the experiment was a mix of success and failure. Like, they're promising going forward, but the actual mechanism didn't expand in the manner that they hoped that it would. But the reason why this is interesting is Robert Bigelow, he's very connected in terms of government contracts.
Yeah.
He was on 60 Minutes within the last few years stating that he believes extraterrestrials are real and
yeah.
that they visited the Earth.
You know,
the other reason that's interesting yeah. is, so this program was basically run in coordination with Bigelow Aerospace. So it was a DOD program run by Luis Elizondo, was the he used to run it, but they would pretty much, from my understanding, outsource a lot of the findings to Bigelow, who would do a lot of the research on it, to the point that Bigelow modified buildings for storage of metal alloys that recovered from unidentified aerial phenomena. They collected videos, including the one you saw there, and another of F-18 Super Hornets surrounding by Gloa Aura, traveling at high speeds and rotating. And the pilots can be heard on the video saying there's a whole fleet of them out there. In 2009, or so this guy Elizondo quit recently, writing a letter to Mattis, Defense Secretary Mattis, saying, why aren't we spending more time here? To kind of show you how people believe that this program may have borne fruit that is not public yet. In 2009, Harry Reid argued for the higher security of the program. Much progress has been made, he says, with identification of several highly sensitive, unconventional aerospace-related findings. And finally, in 2009, in the Pentagon's own briefing summary, they said what was considered science fiction, referring to this program, is now science fact. And that's the fucking Pentagon. And Harry Reid to this day maintains that there are significant findings within this program.
You know those space hotels, there's going to be some weird Eyes Wide Shut sex parties going on.
Such kinky shit going on.
Such
there,
weird,
right?
Just meeting
how
holes.
How are you going to Windex that shit?
Yeah,
it's going to be so
people,
gross.
Goat heads just humping.
Goat heads. Isn't that crazy though, Sammy Triples?
Yeah, it is. I do think it's crazy, dude.
Was that too long-winded, or was that informative?
No, that's what, this is the good, we want more of that.
You want that good,
more,
good?
Yeah, we want the
Oh, yeah,
good.
I have another one. You want another
yeah,
one?
Yeah, that's
about
what
Japan?
We're here for.
You're bringing
yeah.
us home to Japan? Is that what you're
thinking? The Japan one, too. But can I say yeah. something about the Fermi paradox before
dude,
we continue?
I've been wanting someone to talk about that.
Yeah, okay, so the Fermi paradox basically says that we're probably alone in the universe. And the reason it says that, there's like a mathematical formula that says if life existed, then we should have encountered it many times over again. Right? What are your thoughts on the Fermi paradox, Sam?
Well, you know, I've talked about this extensively to myself in the mirror as I get ready to do this podcast. I don't believe that. Yeah. And I don't. I think that if there's advanced extraterrestrial life and they don't want us to know about it, they are advanced enough to hide it from us. So we have proof here. You've brought me proof that hard data, like you say, that it exists. But these same objects have gone out of their way to do whatever they can to hide their movements.
Right.
So I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, I think you're correct. And nobody actually states that publicly. Like, if you try to read about the Fermi paradox online and stuff, pretty much.
Who is Fermi? What an asshole that guy is. Showing up, dude, if they were out there, we'd already seen them. Okay, so, Fermi, whatever. You're such a fucking party pooper.
Some fucking Italian with a protractor.
Whatever,
you know what I mean?
Bro. Shut up. Give me the Stromboli. Enough of this. Oh, go on.
Yeah. So, like, the two main ones people say about the Fermi paradox are because there simply has been no life. There is no life, which is considered the rational one.
Well, I mean,
the rational belief. But at the same time, isn't that there's no life that exists out there, which is why we have, which is the accepted, I think, mainstream scientific view. But isn't also the mainstream scientific view that life definitely exists out there? So I think that's kind of self-defeating. The other one that, like Neil deGrasse Tyson says, is that the civilizations have probably just died out already. Like his great saying is, the university is probably riddled with the graves of one planet civilization.
My problem with that whole thing is that it's the same thing with any conspiracy, right? Let's say 9/11 is an inside job, right?
Right.
They go, well, if it's an inside job, why has anyone come forward? People have come forward. You just choose not to accept that information. You tend to call them crazy people, throw a tinfoil hat on them, and ignore them.
Right.
Here we have hard data of extraterrestrial life, encounters left and right,
yep,
above
absolutely.
The White House, this
entire
thing
city,
outside.
Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, like, but people choose not
aircraft.
To accept it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't fit into how they see the world.
Sure, sure. And I think that's why, you know, you won't see serious scientific inquiry into it. because of the possibilities. It goes a lot into what Eckhart Tolle says about ego and how people embrace faith and ego. It becomes part of who they are and a personality of who they are. So they feel like if you attack your religion or belief or even a conspiracy theory somebody's really into, it's almost like you're attacking that person because they see themselves as that view. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I will also tell you that I think there's a big part of this that very powerful people have controlled this message and this information because it does a lot to destroy the religious beliefs out there.
If this shit is real, if this is real, then that has to be undeniably true.
You know, it's just like if there are space aliens from different places, the notion that Jesus or Allah or whoever the Star David's based on, whoever that cat is, Moses, whatever that is most likely not real.
Based on our current understanding of those religions, but hey, the Mormons believe in different planets.
Well,
that's a base of the Mormon religion.
You've been here talking about the Hindus are into that stuff.
The Buddhists have different planets. So you know, religion also isn't shackled to this kind of one life understanding. I think that's much more of a Judeo-Christian Western understanding of religion is.
You go back, there's very famously books of the Bible that the Roman Catholic Church have hidden from people speak very much of alien encounters.
Yeah, yeah. And even within the Bible, the book of Ezekiel or Enoch, the one where he talks about chariots and the wheel and the grinding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a NASA scientist who was very skeptical about it. And he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to debunk this shit. And he went and he built everything to the damn dimensions of it. And he ended up making like a fucking spaceport is like what it ended up being, you know. So
the Anunnaki stuff with the Moses is the ark. Noah and the ark is actually just a spacecraft carrying DNA all over the place, right? That was kind of what the discussion was.
That's kind of where the known information stops. It stops at the border of that craft churning those seas right there. Because what's beyond the veil is there a completely unknown. And you hear some people talk about it. I think the person with the most credibility I've heard talk about is Paul Hellyer, who is the former Canadian defense minister. Yeah. He's the highest on record person to come out and talk about this. And he gets really into specifics about what are the different races and this and that. I'm not going to go into any of that, but I can just tell you there are definitely cases.
Asians are aliens. I mean, look at the Korean language. It looks like something from Star Trek.
Yeah, and they actually have their own UFO history lore that really ties into some of their great literature of the past as well. But actually, the first recorded data incident of a UFO was a Japan air flight, incidentally, going from, I think it was Iceland to Anchorage, Alaska. It happened in the 80s, and it is known as the first incident.
80s when?
The first incident. It's Japan 1028. You can look up the exact date of it. But it's considered the first recorded UFO data on radar and stuff. And the guy was flying. It's really eerie. If you ever want to look it up, they have it on YouTube, the entire sequence of his actual voice calling into like the control tower. And just like the confusion and the eeriness and him giving him the updates as these two craft appear in front of him. And then they appear to start distancing to the side. And they're coming from whatever side that is on Iceland. And he's like, do you see them on radar? Do you see them on radar? And they're like, we don't see you on radar. We don't see them on radar. He's on radar. We don't see them on radar. And he starts this way. And then they trail to the left. And he goes, oh, I think they're gone. So then in order to get away from them, he descends to some lower altitude, 2,000 below, and the craft starts following him in formation. You know what I mean? And you hear him say, it's so eerie. You hear him say
in
his own words, it's quite, you know, he's in English, it's quite big, quite big.
What is that video?
It tries to get away, but the object stops information. He keeps trying to get away, but the object keeps following information. They don't get any radar radar data of it. He's explaining to them. He says it's white and yellow. It's white and yellow. It's quite big. Later, they say it's as big as a football field. The eerie thing about this is, it's not picked up a radar at all until they get closer to Anchorage, where the local Anchorage radar starts to
starts to pick up the object, and they had a recorded thing, and you can hear the guys on the ground are freaking about it too. They're like, we'll call military, do they have something they can send over there? So after this, the Japanese pilot, who I think was he was shunned, and he was grounded from his job. He was told not to talk about it. He was put on a desk job until he was reinstated years later. Afterwards, there was a meeting with the FBI, CIA, Reagan administration, where they took official possession of the data. But it's all a recorded event. It's all out there. The flight tapes are out there. And it's considered the first recorded UFO radar event. So
crazy.
If I told you there was astronauts who were telling you who've seen this shit and said it's real, if I'm telling you this shit flew information over Washington, D.C., and I'm telling you flew over Phoenix, multiple people, if I'm telling you there's multiple U.S. government videos recorded from F-18s where we have these things recorded doing maneuvers beyond our capability and understanding how to do, then to me that's something that needs to have a public commission and looked into seriously, and not this kind of attitude where it's dismissed. Because at the real heart of it, if you go through it in the original things, they'll say that they have craft, from the government report, I think from this DOD, that they have craft beyond our military capability that we don't have an understanding of how they do any of this. And I think that's really what the scary thing is there, that they think people aren't going to be able to handle that and are going to freak out.
So I put out a poll on Twitter just to see what everybody thought. Do you believe in UFOs? Thoughts? So far it's 93% yes, 7% no. We had my friend Trevor Kevlov,
yeah,
who runs the dojo with me.
Right.
We did a Patreon in which his father pulled him aside and goes, "When I was very young, I saw something. I worked at this Institute for Technology, and I got called down to this floor I've never been to. And I went down there, and they were doing weird experiments on animals. And I walked, and I saw what could be described as a spacecraft with two green or gray objects, things, living things, working all over it, running all over it, with a tiny little thing also running around."
Yeah.
And then he got pulled, you know, the security pulled guns on him.
Right.
And for his life, wherever he showed up, once a year, these men in black would show up out of nowhere. Like he'd be traveling the world. He'd go somewhere, he'd have a passport, they'd pull him in, and these guys and these men from black would come in and be like, "Hey, have you told anybody?" And the only reason this guy's told Trevor, his son, is because he's coming towards the end of his life.
Sure.
And he got to lose at this point.
Right.
And he says he saw that. And this was like decades ago.
So sure. What's it going to take? We're going to have him touch down on the White House lawn in order for us to believe?
I don't know. You know, you say that poll, and the general poll, I think, is like 56 or 57% of the actual population. So you have most of the population already thinking that already. So I just think it's going to have to be something.
Were you
like
cynical
that
at the story I just told you? A little bit?
Yeah, I was.
Which is very interesting because you don't understand it's very interesting because you're like, what's it going to take for people to believe in this? And what I just told you a story, which for the most part, I have no reason not to believe.
Sure.
And Trevor goes, "My dad's not that creative to come up with that story."
Yeah.
But yet you so easily dismiss it. Who seems to be the pro UFO guy?
I'll tell you why. There's so many stories out there, and there's so many anecdotes that they all kind of serve as kind of like
misinformation,
but not even misinformation has intent to it, you know. And there is misinformation, but you know, when you're on a subject like this, I just think when you stick to like the hard data and the hard facts is when you can really start to change people's minds. Because I've sat down with people who have looked at me like I'm a complete fucking kook, and I will go through with them on these particular cases like we did right now, mm-hmm. and they will walk away from it saying, "Okay, I will accept the possibility of it occurring." It's a little bit more. But I'm just very careful the information I bring into it.
Why do you think people
I don't want to bring in stuff that's easily dismissed. You can't dismiss Japan.
You know what I mean? You can't dismiss Phoenix. You can't dismiss DC. You can't dismiss Gordon Cooper. And you can't dismiss the Battle of Los Angeles, which, you know, I know you have.
Have you gotten into that at all?
I know you
What is the Battle of Los Angeles, Ryan?
I've been holding on to that one for Gareth Reynolds. I've told you about 17,000 times.
But that's,
can we get into a little bit?
That's
no.
Another one that definitely deserves inquiry. Yeah. But basically, all this shit started in World War II. With Foo Fighters are the first recorded, real, I would say verifiable UFO type of thing that demand inquiry, where you know, the band Foo Fighters, that comes from UFOs that pilots were seeing.
You hear he hates that name.
Who, does he?
Yeah, like he didn't think this band would be that big.
He was just like a throwaway
name. So he just
name.
Threw out the name and then blew up. He's yeah, like, I'm stuck with this name forever.
Fucking bigger.
It is a great name, though.
It's a great name.
So, Ryan, you
get what I'm saying on my point, though?
Yeah, but I, if I was you, I wouldn't be so quick to dismiss
something. Maybe you're right about that, but you get why I'm saying
it. Because everything, you're looking at life in binary code, zeros and ones, and it's like, that's not life.
Fair enough, but, you know, you're not always talking to people like you are, who may have a little bit open mind. Usually you're talking to closed ears.
Right.
So if you give closed ears anything that gives them a reason to close their ears off, they will.
Right. Well, so what I would say to you is, if you're talking to a skeptic, then you bring out the zeros and the ones,
Yeah. You
know?
But I like to deal with the zero. Maybe I'm a bit of a skeptic myself.
No, it sounds, it's very interesting. You're the most open-minded skeptic I've ever seen. Like, you're open-minded to your information and completely dismissive of
Well, if he comes with facts and stuff, I think everything here is based around a fact or something.
The other idea, too, is the schools of thought is that to conquer the Fermi paradox and travel such far distances, in order to do that, you wouldn't be an organic entity. You'd be a non-biological entity. So that's why when we see these grays, they all look identical, because they probably
Asian
are like robotics. They're like cyborgs.
You think that's what they're all hiding as?
Yeah. Well, that's why nobody's afraid to get little fisted, because they have little Asian hands, and they're just like tiny fists.
That's funny.
There's an idea for that.
Probings.
You know what I learned from the Asian kids in college?
What?
They used to go to the strip clubs in basketball shorts, and I never understood why until I asked them, and then the answer was so obvious. I was like,
yeah. I don't want to say the comic, but a very good friend of mine said that this guy used to show up all the time in sweatpants.
Yeah.
But I always found, like, why would she get so offended by that? That's what you're there to do. Your job is to give the boners.
Yeah. I never had the balls to actually do that.
Well, hey, it's everybody's favorite time.
Uh-oh, what time is
Aaron,
it?
Aaron.
Don't be an idiot.
Hey, Aaron. Well, you better be sick, dead, or mute, Aaron. You done messed up, Aaron.
You filthy animal.
Aaron, thoughts?
Well, I'm of the school that there's so many planets out there and so many galaxies, there has to be extraterrestrial life out there.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if they've ever made it here. I mean, because I haven't seen them. And I agree with Sean in terms of like the unreliability of eyewitnesses, you know, that sort of thing, in most cases.
But what about the radar data?
I got to see it.
What about the F-18 pilots in the New York Times?
I mean, pilots are fucking psychopaths.
But he has he has to record it.
Someone's got to do a drop of every crazy thing Aaron's ever said, and I want pilots are psychopaths.
No, they literally are. If you take their DSM test results, they're the same as psychopaths. It's insane.
All right, you have to be a little bit nuts to fly a plane.
The video, Aaron, the fucking video from the Navy.
Show me the video,
Aaron.
Show him the video.
Can you find the Japanese one?
Fuck no, this tinfoil hat. Hey, drop breadcrumbs. Hey. Pick them up, motherfucker.
Aaron, before we end it, do you find yourself being more open-minded to what we're doing? I feel like you're almost a year into this. Like, have you opened your mind to what we're doing?
I mean, I'm skeptical of so many things, though. So I don't know.
The video is on the New York Times. I'm going to send it to Aaron.
I'm always willing to listen.
New York Times.
But five-star reviews, guys. Five-star reviews.
At Fanatics Pod.
Okay, real quick. Bring up the Fanatics Pods real quick. Can you bring it up real quick?
No.
We're just getting it going. We need followers.
What's that say? What's that
say? The Fanatics Podcast.
So it's The Fanatics.
Okay, it's The Fanatics. Just follow us. At Fanatics Pod on Twitter. At Fanatics Pod on Instagram. I'm at Sean Joshi, 2 A's.
June 1st, guys. Grab
follow
those
me.
Tickets. Make sure you go to Cobbs. Don't go to the other ones where they're super expensive.
Don't go.
Go to Cobbs' actual website. $20 and $25 tickets, not $30, not $40, not $220 like it's Hamilton's. $20 or $25 tickets. That's not bad for a whole night of comedy conspiracy.
It's a whole fucking
Come hang
night,
out.
People.
We're gonna see you there.
Good.